This is Rabbi Yehoshua Penstein. When did you first come to Lakewood?
I came to Lakewood Tavshin Chaf, 1960.
That's pretty good. Where were you before that?
In Philly.
Philly. Okay, what motivated you to come to Lakewood?
Well, that was the thing. You finished Philly, you went to Lakewood.
It was a track.
Yeah.
It's a regular track.
I mean, that's where you wanted to go. If you went to Philly, that's where you wanted to go.
Yeah. Very good. Now, which Zaman was that approximately that you came?
It was in Elul.
Mm-hmm.
And they were learning Kedushin.
Learning Kedushin. Now,
they were finishing Kedushin. They started Kedushin again.
Did you have to have a fahed to come in or what? What was the introduction?
I don't know. I don't think I had a fahed.
So,
I mean, you know, Rebellion probably just spoke to them. Rebellion Shmuel spoke to Rabbi Shiva, but...
Mm-hmm. And, okay, what was your first experience there? I mean, coming there? Was that the first time you went live, or were you there before?
No, I was there. I probably went for Simchas Torah.
Mm-hmm. Could you describe what was like the first time you were there in Simchas Torah?
No. I mean, not really.
No impression?
No. I mean, some people were drunk. That's not an impression.
No. Rabar, nothing. What you saw?
No.
Or what you observed? Nothing. And I'll say then when you finally came to the yeshiva, what was that experience like when you first came there?
Well, I was set up with chavrusas, and I had to start getting used to the shia.
Yeah, what was that? What was the shia like?
She was like, you know, somebody shooting you with a machine gun.
did you anticipate that before?
Yeah, I mean, because you know, when I came for Simchas Torah, the Rashiva always had a shir on the screen of Terrace.
Right. But you don't remember anything about that first shir that you heard?
No, I probably, you know, I always had difficulty understanding it.
Mm-hmm.
And then any shurim that I got, I mean, I had to listen to the Chazal.
Oh, yeah.
It was very, difficult.
Mm-hmm. What made it so difficult?
Well, first, you spoke very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And Yiddish was really not my language.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a, if it would have been, and you know, B'chali, I mean, whatever he said fast, and it was Tifa Torah.
You had to prepare a lot.
You had to prepare, and then you had to chazer a lot to get anything. Anything that I got, I mean, I had to work on a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yivor Mishurim, I had to work on like a whole week. That was like, you know, latest month.
That was after you heard it.
Yeah, I mean, there was, somebody had it taped. They were taping it. They had reel-to-reel tapes.
Mm-hmm. What was that?
Could have been, that was, maybe it was AC Nussbaum.
Uh-huh.
And, like I would listen to the tape, you know, a whole week of learning over, chazering over the shiur. And those shiur, my God, the ones that I didn't work on, I really didn't get. That, you know, there was the olam, they were makabel the shurim, and you know, they learned sugyas up with yisaidus that Rosh Hashivas as all said. But you know, to get a whole shiur was extremely difficult. I remember. In El Zaman, he said, the next El, they learned Shabbos after Pesach. The following Pesach, when I came there, you learned Yevomis.
Where did you live? With home.
At home, I lived in they called it East Flatbush. It's actually Rugby.
Mm-hmm.
I live where Ramilla. I'm down by Ramilla. Ramilla.
Okay, so you were talking about the shurim again.
The shurim were very difficult. I got the shurim. I know in shurim in the following Elul, they were on Shkogas. Did we learn Masech to Shabbos?
Mm-hmm.
And they were learning Klal Gadol.
Mm-hmm.
In Elul, they learned the first part of Klal Gadol, and that was about. Sugyas of Shkogas. It was like the whole level was one Hemshech Shir on Shkogas, I think. And a lot of those shurim I got, they worked on. And I have it written down. I worked on those shurim a lot. And I got, you know, I used to shayla the Rosh Hashiva a shayla once.
Yeah. In what context?
I asked him something.
What was the Skogas?
I don't remember.
No, it was during a Shia or after a Shia?
No, nobody asked. In my time, nobody asked during a Shia. Those days were over. And it must have been on Shabbos, because I think by Shelley Shudas, he said over the Kasha, and he was mice or something, and he told Rebellia, you know, that Penn State had good gefrak, and that was it. You know, all he needed was one Kasha in 10 years, so...
That was your
train Hashem, yeah. But if I didn't work on a shurim, I didn't get him. Because it was too fast and too difficult.
But so, what else did you gain from the experience of being with Reb Aaron?
Just being in the Zal and Amis. I mean, you saw godless.
Like
you never lost the pachad.
You never lost.
Lost the pachad. When he walked into Beis Medrash, you could be there 10 years. You were standing up for the Gadol Dor. You never lost that.
Could you describe how that manifested itself? It was just the existence.
It's just a pachad. A lot of people when they heard a Shia,
yeah,
they couldn't listen to the Shia because they were just hypnotized by his hadrespanim. And people, I know for myself and others, when you walked around to say Good Shabbos,
yeah,
you just stared at him, and his eyes, you know, were white and sparkling blue, sky blue.
Yeah.
You just, when you walked around, mm-hmm. you never got used to that.
It was like being like in front of the Shekhinah, like something like that. You imagine.
I don't know what Shechina, you know. I don't know if you had a thug in the Shechina, you know. But you just had a pachad, and you saw the hadrespanim, when he said a shir, and you watched him say a shir. Sometimes you're just watching him say a shir. You forget to listen.
You just
was watching him.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, he has the kasha and his face lit up. So I mean, that was before my time.
That was before your time. So, did you any other encounters that you remember?
You have to ask me. I said you have to ask me the questions, because
I understand, but I'd have to be there to ask you all the questions. But we'll say, could you go over what the Seder of the week was?
Seder of the week in Yeshiva?
Yeah.
I mean, the Rosh Hashiva, the Seder was like the Mitzad Bachem, was a regular Seder. And the Rosh Hashiva was there. He came on Thursday night.
Yeah.
And he was there till Friday morning, till Monday morning.
There were clowns. What usually transpired during that period?
Well, when he came in, I guess, I don't know, for Thursday, maybe sometimes he could have said a Shavu sometimes on Thursday. I don't remember that. But Friday he said a Chazor HaSashia.
From last week.
Mm-hmm.
About what time of the day was that?
During the first Seder.
Mm-hmm. In the morning.
Mm-hmm. Well, Friday, you know, it was only one Seder.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it was before Mincha. I don't know exactly when it was.
Yeah, so that was voluntary?
Yeah. You didn't have to go.
It wasn't at the Beis Medrash.
No.
Where was it?
It was in the old building.
Mm-hmm.
You probably never saw the old building.
No.
Well, the old building was no hotel. When you came into the building, there was a little, a foyer.
Yeah.
And then to the right, there was a Beis Medrash. You walked through the doors, and you were into Beis Medrash. And then the left side, there was a room.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, you know, there was a porch that you were able to sit, because it was an old hotel.
Mm-hmm.
There was a porch. And part of the porch jutted out. Part of the building jutted out.
Uh-huh.
Like when you walked in the porch, to the left, you hit part of the building, and that was Rashiva's office there.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a sunroom almost.
Mm-hmm.
And when you walked into the building, you went to the left. So when you went to that side of the building, there was Rashiva had his room there, and then there was another room they call like a library. It was just like a big room, no tables or anything, but there were some bookcases on the side. And then that's where he said the Shia.
He said not everybody came to it?
No. That's where the Mashkiach also said his shmuz. The Mashkiach in those days did not say his shmuz in the Beis Medrash.
Mm-hmm.
From nothing.
Mm-hmm. And
so he said a shiur then. And then there was Shabbos.
Yeah, what was that like?
Well, he sat at, there were two dining rooms.
Yeah.
There were two rooms, and he sat in a room in the, you know, on his table with a kosher of a bachram.
Mm-hmm. Nobody know, else was in that room?
What?
Nobody else was in that room?
Yeah. There was a dining room, but there was a head table there, and then there were other tables. But on the head table, only, you know, kosher of a bachram, you know, the kosher of a bachram, like Reb Chaim Epstein was there in my time.
Yeah, who else?
Still bachram, Moshe Hillel Hirsch was there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Chaim Lawa.
Some,
you know, the Elter Bachum were there.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time I think I sat in the other room.
You never even sat, so you didn't see the Rosh by the meal?
No. I mean, you were able to look in, but, you know, but it was a different room. And then at night time, he said over a Shia.
Friday night.
He said the Shia over, which was a Hachana for him. He said over the Shia to a couple of Bachum.
Mm-hmm. Anybody special?
Well, it was the older Bachram, like Moshe Hillel Hirsch, maybe Chaim Leib Epstein at the time,
mm-hmm.
Chaim Lauer. I don't know who else was there.
I don't have the name Chaim Lauer for some reason.
Huh?
Where is he now, Chaim Lauer?
He's in Eretz Yisrael. When he got married, he left the yeshiva.
Oh.
It was, you know...
You know where he is, or what area?
No, maybe Kamenetz or something. Maybe he has some shaykhs with Kamenetz.
In Shalim, in other words.
Yeah. Did you ever speak to Zraven?
I'm supposed to speak to him soon.
Well, Zraven was a big Talmud. I mean, Zraven...
No, he's on my list. I have to...
But he was, he had more shaykhs. I mean, he was.
I'm not looking for the best. I'm looking for anybody and see how the impression was laid on a broad spectrum of people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to bring across. One thing else, it's not just. It's like you hear something from a lot of different people from different views, and even if they repeat the same thing, it's worthwhile because you see that there's a truth in what. It's not just somebody's imagination, or somebody who's very impressionable.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the Rosh Hashiva was very, he did cause a tremendous impression because he was, you never lost the pachah for him. I mean, there was a...
I mean, it was intrinsic. You can't even explain where it came from.
Yeah, well, it came because, from his godless.
I mean, the godless was, see, the godless that you describe is beyond... like you say, you look up a resume and say he has this all these points. You can't see it from that. You got to see the person.
You got to see the person. You just have to see it.
There was something about him that gave evidence that he had was a godel beyond just facts.
Yeah, you felt it. My mamash felt it.
It's not because somebody told you.
No, you felt it. You just saw, we walked into the base meadows, you just had people stood up, not because they had to stand up. You had to stand up. You know, like they say, was it Amos Bunim? When
yeah.
He spoke to Rosh Hashiva on the telephone, he put his yarmulke on. You just couldn't talk to him without that. I mean, that's the way you had to speak to him. How are you going to talk to Rosh Hashiva without a yarmulke?
Oh, yeah, I understand that.
You know, I mean, but it's not, you just had to do it.
Any other incidents? Were you ever mishamish him?
I was mishamish him once when he was in hospital.
Okay, well, was any...
Nothing special. The only thing is I had a maisa rav with him.
Yeah?
Because when he went into the bathroom and he came out, a saber went in water, and he asked me, what is it for?
Uh-huh.
They said, you know, Rosh Hashiva to wash his hands. He tells me he washed already in the bathroom.
Uh-huh. It was Mark Benandai.
So we held that was...
sufficient.
Yeah. Didn't have a dinner of a basic kisei.
So in general, would you say that he did things just what you had to do and didn't do anything of chumras or anything like that? He just did what had to be done.
The Shiva?
Yeah.
I can't say that. I mean, he did things that he held you had to do.
Yeah, I'm sure. But he didn't do things just because of...
You know, somebody that was like, you know, other people just do things?
Yeah.
You mean everything probably had a cheshbon.
Everything did with a cheshbon.
Yeah.
That
probably.
Was obvious.
Right. Like, I don't think that Shabbos he wore a tie.
He didn't.
I don't think so. From what I remember, he did not wear a tie Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there was any cheshbon to that. And when he did make a tie, it wasn't like, you know, regular bow, you know, regular tie like you would make a knot. He just like folded over somehow. Because
mm-hmm.
his beard, you know, his beard came down and it covered the top of the tie, you know, isn't it?
But he was from Slobodka, and Slobodka, everybody was very dressed to the hill.
Right, so he did, he dressed neat, but in Shabbos, I don't think that he wore a tie.
Mm-hmm.
That's my recollection, so there might, maybe there's probably some kind of a chesed, you know, for that.
You don't know what it was.
No.
Mm-hmm. Any other hanhagas that you remember that you could, would be characteristic?
Hmm.
Halachas that he.
I don't think.
So basically, the whole thing revolved around his presence, basically, and the shiurim.
Yeah.
More than that is not. You weren't involved in anything that.
I mean, I wasn't involved. I mean, I was young bacha. Is that, you know, I wasn't.
Some people are very observant. They like to know everything, what's going on. And,
well, you know, there's certain things. I am pretty observant about certain, you know,
yeah.
you know, oddities and things like that.
They look for these things.
Yeah, I mean, I see them. I pick it up on people.
Yeah, but Rabban, yeah.
But there's certain things that I always looked at. I mean, I knew the way he chuckled, and I knew the, you know, I knew how he chuckled. You know, how he, when he sat, how he chuckled, when he damaged Manasri, how he chuckled.
And what did that?
Nothing. I mean, I just, you know, like, you know, when I was in Chaim Berlin, everybody, I learned Chaim Berlin. So everybody tries to bacher, and everybody tried to imitate Rav Hudna.
Uh-huh.
Now you watch them, and they wore the same glasses, and they try to talk the same way, and
uh-huh.
and they imitated his voice, and you know, things like that.
Yeah,
not that they imitate people. Did I don't think people imitated, you know, Baron, you know,
no.
you know, so, you know, Bozo. You know, I do sometimes.
Were you by that?
No, I wasn't. That was before my time.
Wait a minute. Oh yeah, right. That's right. I forgot. I wasn't there.
But I heard about, you know, when he made the mechon on the Bris Chorav.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Hashem Buzza.
Yeah, I mean, I heard it on a tape. Buzza. Sometimes I go around.
Yeah.
And I make and I say a bracha the way I think that Rashiv is.
Oh, you mean,
I imitate it.
But don't do it because you're making fun. You're doing.
No, no, no. Not
automatic.
Fun, but that's, you know, I just imitate. You know. You know, when he said Kiddush or made Havdalah,
yeah,
it all sounded the same.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was the same. Everything, you know, everything sounded the same, whether it was Havdalah, Kiddush.
Yeah.
He probably said the Haggadah. I was never by the Haggadah. But he was, you know, there's somebody else you could put on your list, speaking about, you know, Pesach.
Yeah.
Rivlin, Moshe Rivlin. Is Moshe Rivlin? Yankel Rivlin.
Yankel Rivlin, yes. Sure.
Yankel Rivlin in Detroit.
I don't know where he is now.
Detroit. He was by the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal for a Seder.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because I remember he said that when they served soup with a knedel in it, he told the Rosh Yeshiva, chametz. When he served it, you know, he thought he was making a joke. You know, I don't know how the Rosh Yeshiva took it, but.
He meant Gebrock.
Yeah.
Oh.
He says, Ichas Yichachomets. That's what I remember him telling me. Now, I don't know if that's exactly what happened, but.
Well, he was a jolly fellow.
Yeah. I mean, Rosh Yeshiva liked the joke, too.
Yeah.
It's not, he wasn't. My wife is here. My wife is always telling me I should say over Maisa. It didn't happen by me.
Okay.
But it was on Purim. This is a Maisa that they say over with Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal.
Yeah.
It was the early days. You know, in my time, after I was in Lakewood for a while, they first came out with cassettes.
Yeah.
You know, tape recorders.
Yeah.
Before that, it was reel to reel.
Right.
And reel to reel was also an uncommon thing.
Right.
People didn't have tape recorders.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I first bought it when I left Lakewood and I went to Denver, so I bought a tape recorder because I wanted that. Those were the only tapes that were available.
Tape recorder, not a cassette.
A reel-to-reel.
A webcore was a webcore.
Sony.
Oh, Sony. Oh.
Yeah. So anyway, they say that on Purim once, you know, that they had a Purim Rebbe.
Yeah.
And this guy comes in dressed in, and I think it was Moshe Hirsch, not Moshe Hillel.
The other one. Yeah,
the
Kanoi.
Yeah, the Kanoi. So he got dressed up like with a box, on his head. You know, his face was enclosed in a box with light. And he got dressed up as a Rebbe, something like that. And he sat down next to Rosh Hashiva on Purim by the Suda.
Yeah.
And then he starts shuckling away, and the tape recorder goes on. And the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal never heard his own voice. If you don't know, if you never heard your voice, you can't recognize it really. But then the Shia started going. You know, he started playing a Shia, and the Shia.
Well, he was mimicking the Shia.
Yeah, but he was mimicking, like, you know, talking, but it was a tape recorder.
Yeah, that's it.
And then when he asked the Kasha, the things he had lights going off and on, you know, because that's what happened with Rosh Hashiva Zatzal. He asked the Kasha, you know, when he asked the Kasha, you know, a bomb Kasha, so then, you know, he just lit up. And then when he said the Teretz, he also lit up.
So that you did see?
Yeah, that you saw during a Shia.
Yeah, so that we didn't mention that.
Okay, you know, he lit up. He lit up like a light.
Mm-hmm.
So he was imitating that. But with lights going flicking on and off, until the Rosh Hashiva chaps, that it was a tape recorder.
He thought it was a person speaking.
He didn't know what it was. He didn't know what the voice is because he never heard it.
Yeah,
you know, like there's a meister. They say there's Rabbi Yitzchak Chaim Zonneveld's Rebbe, Shrag, I think his name was Shrag from Ungar.
Yeah,
they were once going into a government building, and they had to go speak to some higher ups.
Yeah.
And they didn't know, and there was mirrors in the room there.
Yeah.
So he didn't know. So they wanted to go appoint somebody that they should be the spokesman.
Yeah.
They didn't know who to do it. So he said he pointed to somebody. He said, you know, there's somebody over there that looks like a chosh of a yid. You know, should be Maman him.
It was his own person.
It was himself.
So he didn't know what he looked like.
He never looked in the mirror. He didn't know what he looked like. He looked at himself. He saw a picture. He saw a chosh of a yid.
So he back to the Maisa with Rabban.
He didn't know. He didn't recognize his voice. That's how.
Yeah.
So till he chopped it. When he chopped it, you know, he chopped a joke. You know, it was Gavaldik. I mean, he heard the Shia. It was his Elba Pera.
Yeah.
Then he chopped it. Was that it was a tape. So he had a sense of humor, and that.
And any other incidents that you can recall? Characteristic?
No, not really.
Nothing else. So how long were you there? How many years?
I was in Lakewood about 10 years.
I mean, afterwards? After the...
Yeah, I was there. I was there for about 3 years, maybe, before he was Nifta.
Could you say anything about, let's say, a final farewell, sort of a finale to the what you said, to sum up the whole experience in a nutshell, like they say?
I don't know. I don't know what to say about it. I really don't know how to sum it up. I just could tell you that the experience being in Lakewood, it just made you a different person. That, you know, you just came to Hasaga that the only Chosheva Zach in the world is only Torah.
And that's how you kept going on that.
Right, like when the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal said a shmooze about chesed.
Yeah.
So the biggest chesed was to help somebody in learning. You have to daven, because through davening you can have siyata d'shmaya to go to steig in learning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all roads lead to Rome.
Yeah.
All roads lead to Torah, no matter what you did.
Torah was the ultimate.
That's right. Torah was the tachlis. So you daven for Torah. You did chesed. Chesed had a two way from Torah.
Mm-hmm.
He had the biggest chesed that you could do is to learn with the chavrusa, with the shmuz and learning, and to do a chesed for the olim, and you know, to two way for a chizik in the olim, that there should be a bigger Cyrus and asmoda. You know, everything was Torah. There was nothing else except Torah. There's nothing in the world existed for the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal except Torah.
And that's how you continued on with it.
Well, you know, you try to get a little bit. I mean, you don't get the same Madrega, but, you know, it rubs off. A Masha who rubs off.
So it's an overriding drive that you got in that experience.
Right. The main thing is Torah. So, you know, that's what you hope that you walked away from Lakewood with that...
And that's what you want to give. That's what you give over now to your Talmidim.
You try to.
That's what you try to do. Everybody tries to do whatever they do. They try.
Yeah.
And so that's all they can do. In any profession, you try to do the right thing. But that's what that's your goal, so to speak. That,
right,
that he set
the, in Lebanon,
he
right.
set the goal right, so you don't have any diversion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you very much, Rabbi Penstein, for your words. And
Rabbi Masliach.
Thank you very much. I need a lot of help. Thank you.
Okay.
Cold fine.